Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Resource Cast. This is our week one lockdown catch-up episode, and I'm on a Zoom call with Lucas von Vieren, as usual.
Hello, hello.
And today we have a special guest, Tessa Kleinfeld, the founder of The Resource, is on with us as well, chatting about her first week in lockdown. Hi, Tessa.
Hey.
Okay, now that I've finished the very radio show interview bit, we can actually start talking like normal human beings.
And now for the weather.
And now. Okay.
Let's go to traffic.
We should do a thing like that where you could be traffic guy. Okay. So today we're talking essentially, it's the 6th of April, it's Friday, it's Monday. Yes, it's hard to tell. And we've been 1 week in lockdown now. And what I wanted to do was just catch up with Tessa and with Lucas kind of personally, but also we wanted to talk a little bit about The Resource and the people on it, the community on the creative forum and the Resource main group. So I wanted to get Tessa on the show because she's got a very good view of what's happening on The Resource and the Resource creative forum. She's seeing the posts all the time, and she's got a bird's eye view of the zeitgeist of the forum, what people are talking about, what issues they're having during lockdown. And I think she'll be able to give us some idea of where the freelance creative community is at right now. But first, let's chat a little bit about how you guys are doing in lockdown. So, I mean, Tessa, how was your first week?
I think the first week was a bit better than the week before that. I think when this whole pandemic started hitting Europe and we inevitably knew that it was going to hit South Africa at some point, I think there's this like feeling of pending doom and you're just waiting for this giant hammer to come down. And I think that really, you know, made everybody really anxious. Because I always find that what goes on in your head, you know, imagining a crisis is always worse than dealing with one, you know, in the moment. Because your imagination is just so much better at freaking you out than the reality.
Yeah.
So I think week one in lockdown, look, in terms of work, it hasn't changed much. I've been working remotely for 4 years now and I've got international clients. So the way I deal with them is the same.
Sure.
Emotionally, like I said, a little bit better than the previous week. I've been trying to keep myself busy. So that's really helped, and doing some pottery. So that's always good for the soul. And right, trying to connect with other people to, you know, have little account buddies for, you know, making sure that you're not delving into dark places is always good as well.
Snaps. So
generally okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Work wise, it's been stable-ish. So thankfully don't have to worry about that.
And are you finding, I mean, has your daily routine changed much or is it more or less the same?
It has actually changed a bit because I've apparently turned into like a 1950s wife because Andre is here and he's been working really hard. Mm-hmm. Lots of Zoom calls, locking himself in the room. So I make him lunch every day and right, I'm cooking dinner because he's under a lot of pressure doing
pitch. Have you baked banana bread yet?
So I made carrot cake yesterday.
Okay. That's close. So yes.
I'm planning menus. I'm clean, like proper clean, not just tidy. No? Mm-hmm. So yes, proper 1950s housewife vibes.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a change for me because I'm always the only one that I have to worry about during the day. So
right,
that's, I suppose, the only routine change. And Andre and I get along really well. So we don't have any problems being in the same space with each other.
Right. Yeah. I get this overarching feeling that all the introverts in the world are just kind of secretly loving it and looking at all the extroverts who like to go to clubs and all that kind of thing and just going, oh man, that's so sad. You must be struggling right now. What you say about the week before lockdown being more stressful than actual lockdown is very true because there was a lot of uncertainty. Mm. There was a lot of conflicting information and not knowing what's going on. And then now once we're in lockdown, there's kind of the rules are there, you know? So yeah, at least there's a little bit of more certainty. How about you, Luke?
Strangely enough, we've been more social, but with distance. So, because of where we lived, everybody kind of lives on top of each other. But yeah, so we all have decks that have a little bit of view of each other. So when we go out, we've got a little morning routine now. Get a cup of coffee, go and sit on the deck. Hey, neighbor, hello. And everybody kind of just catches up.
And oh, that's cool.
We had neighbors that moved in about 6 months ago, and I haven't spoken to them. until we got isolated. Right. So it's been like quite interesting. We're like, oh, okay, cool. Just and introduced ourselves and had a chat, but yelling at each other over across the street, which is quite, I kind of found it quite nice. But I know what you're saying. Like your home is turning to this little safe nest kind of space. Hmm. And the idea of going out now is making me more anxious than staying indoors. So I share that feeling. That being said, I'm also avoiding the news a little bit from looking at the, it's basically like sports statistics, like watching the Olympics, but of death, you know, it's really bad. I'm not enjoying it at all. It's like, but this country's leading, really leading in what exactly?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Spain is catching up to Italy quickly. Yeah, no, yeah. It's macabre, but
you know, it's a little bit of, a little bit of stat porn happening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a sliding scale, and on one side of it is, unfortunately, older folk that we all know and love who have Sky News or whatever it is on 24/7, and they're just being bombarded by the news cycle again and again. And fortunately, both my mother and my mother-in-law have come to the point where they've said, okay, enough now. Like, this is actually, they've recognized that they are just being pulled into the wake of this thing. And knowing how many infections there are in Venezuela is not going to help you, actually. Like, yes, it's real, but it's not something that you can control or even accept, because the scale of it is just too big. So week one lockdown for me was quite a few ups and downs. I had a couple of days where I felt really demotivated and I couldn't see the point of it all, of this struggle to be productive. And it's a couple of interesting articles about, you know, not putting so much pressure on yourself to be super productive. And, you know, like, it's difficult because it can go either way. I also don't want to end up just playing computer games and, you know, eating oven pizza for the rest of my life.
I've done this thing, if I can jump in, just something that I figured out, because I would always work balls to the wall to try and finish X task in front of me. So what I'm now doing is I taking a break every like 45 minutes, really. And like, I've decided, because it's not it's not the 8-hour day. I've gone, you've got the 12-hour day, you've got the 20-hour day. So I've just spreading it around along the whole day. So, otherwise, you're just going to keep watching TV or, so it's the kind of looking at the day as not as a short, intense burst of work, just take it easy. So it feels like it's just not as a burden at the moment.
Dude, if you can shorten your work periods to 45 minutes, that means you've got an attention span longer than probably 90% of the world.
I used to sit with like 3-4 hours intensely in my, like, I wouldn't blink. You should see me play video games. I don't blink.
I can imagine
2 hours later,
like the webcam pointed at you. I'd love to see a time lapse of that, just open eyes and then the little clock spinning in the bottom right corner. Okay.
It just goes redder and redder and redder to the pen.
Okay. So last week I put a poll up on the creative forum, and the basic idea, the wording of the poll was, the Resource Cast team are doing an episode on what you're doing with your time in lockdown. I'd like to know what you've been turning your focus to and your time to while you might have much more time at home and far less work. So tell us what you're up to. And I put a few options up there, and the results were quite interesting. Obviously, this is not data that any scientist would accept. But I don't know, it's just interesting stuff. So we got 24 responses for option one, which was, I've got more or less the same amount of work. And that's the biggest chunk of the poll. Now, the second biggest is, I'm prospecting for new work. And Tessa actually appears on both of those answers. So you voted for both things there. So, I mean, is that just a state you're in right now where you have more or less the same amount of work, but you are kind of constantly prospecting for new work at the same time?
Yeah, I'm really concerned that the real struggle is only going to come later. I mean, we've already been in a recession before COVID-19. I'm really concerned about the future, you know, going forward, rather than right now. I don't think we're going to see the biggest impact right now. I think it's going to happen later. You know, when the knock-on effects start affecting our clients and they run out of runway. So, you know, being okay right now is great for me financially, but I think you always need to think in the future. Thankfully, I've got clients, some clients that are fantastic. They're not even blinking, you know, about what's happening right now. They're thinking about 6 months down the line. Right. And I think that that's really what a lot of us should be doing. You know, yes, you should obviously, if you don't have income right now, you should be working hard to get something. But even if you do, you have to think about, you know, those are maybe existing projects or clients, you know, finishing up existing work. What happens when those run out? So,
yeah, I think that's
I'm just reaching out to everybody that started talking about a potential project or, you know, we're mentioning that some other thing could be happening in the next few months, trying to convince them to start the project earlier, kind of get them going while everybody's in limbo, because it's the ideal time to be focusing on, you know, design work, really.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But, I think it's a good point that we are in the apocryphal frog in a pot scenario right now, where and we're also so used to things moving so fast that we're thinking, oh wow, day one of lockdown, week one of lockdown done, week two of lockdown done, you know. But the according to the kind of the curves that you see of infections, you know, we're only really going to be in a bad situation in 3 weeks from now or a month from now. That's when it's going to peak. Yeah. So we haven't even gotten into this.
They're saying June is probably when the peak's going to happen. And there's some speculation that it might be, according to what's happening in other countries, that we might end up having some form of lockdown until August. So, I mean, nothing's obviously been confirmed. Like, the government hasn't actually said anything, but this is now speculating, you know, people, according to what's happened in the rest of the world. So we have to prepare ourselves for things potentially getting a lot worse. Hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully it's amazing and we, like, you know, go down in the annals of history as the country that did amazing, and we have some kind of like super immunity and we only had very few cases. And I really hope that happens and like all the businesses come back, you know, great. But you have to kind of prepare for all eventualities, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And then,
how do you prepare for basically Armageddon? If that is the case, I find it not to be doom and gloomy, but those scenarios are so out of my reference. I can't imagine that happening. Sure. But again, like I sometimes think it's the news talking about like that we're on war footing, that we have to start thinking about that and then putting our industry a little bit into context if you are on war footing. Yeah. You know, do you need a logo?
Well, propaganda. Yes. Maybe that's the way
forward. Yeah. Then we could probably sell it that way.
Yeah. I've always said that if there's a zombie apocalypse, copywriters are going first. Like, we're definitely going to die first.
I actually think about that stuff a really, really, like, disgusting amount. Like, what use would I be in a zombie apocalypse? Or, you know, because I watch a lot of dystopian TV and read a lot of dystopian books, and I think about that a lot.
The next kind of, after that, after prospecting for new work, we got 8 responses on working on my portfolio website. I think that's fairly obvious. Everyone's got some downtime, so they're updating their portfolios, working on websites to put them into, either to get new work now or put them into a better position in the future. Focusing on mental health and physical wellness. And, you know, I think a lot of people will, when they do these polls, are just clicking on the one major thing that applies to them. And obviously a lot of us are doing all of these things at the same time, but for another 8 people, focusing on that wellness was a key thing. The
what
two
you
things
doing
that
to stay well, what are you doing? Is there like a, cause like at the moment my thing is nutrition. And I don't know, it'd be interesting to know.
My thing is everybody else is eating terribly and hoping to offset it with exercise. Yeah, just so
bad. Okay, cool.
Like that, I love this quote I heard. I was like, sometimes I take naps to stop eating. I've got a friend in the UK who's doing online yoga classes, and she's a South African. She moved there years ago. I'm doing maybe 1 or 2 yoga classes. I'm attempting to do workouts, which at home, and you know, everyone's Virgin Active is offering them, personal trainers I know are offering them. They're all doing stuff online, which is cool. But for some reason, there's so much resistance to actually getting down and doing it that the only thing I can do is something as so simple as do 50 burpees. And that's all I can do. And then just trying to restrain burpees.
My, good God.
Yeah, but not all that's in a insane. Row, like sets of 10 and 20.
Okay. Okay. Like treat it like a 20-hour day. Just do one.
Yeah, exactly.
Like just, one every 5 minutes.
Yeah. What I'm thinking of doing is putting a sign outside the kitchen that says, you know, if you enter here, you have to do 20 burpees. That's the payment for going into the kitchen.
If you open the fridge.
I saw somebody with a post where they had a scale at in front of their fridge. And that was like their, so you had to stand on the scale before you could open the fridge.
That
I think that's
sound
a
healthy.
Pretty good tactic.
That's amazing.
How about you, Tessa? Are you doing any, are you keeping fit?
I do have a couple of friends who've kind of like peer pressured me into doing some exercise because they keep posting how great they, you know, are. And I've got a friend who's also a neighbor who goes, and I know this isn't strictly allowed, but she goes running around our inside of our complex. Like she does these circuits.
Yeah.
And I think somebody probably complained because now she started doing these kind of run in place exercise videos. Like step videos.
Right.
And she sent one to me and it was actually really fun. So we've been doing that.
Okay.
It's basically walk a mile in place. Mm. It's really easy and it's not like you get a sweat up, but you're not like killing yourself,
yep.
Which is fantastic. And that's the kind of exercise I can get behind, you know.
Right. Okay. So moving on from working on portfolio websites, mental and physical wellness, the next two categories I'm quite interested in, which was learning a new skill. 7 people clicked on that, and working on a new side hustle, and 4 people clicked on that. So what I did is I got in touch with the people who had chosen that option and just sent them a message and say, hey, tell me more about the new skill you're learning or the new side hustle you're doing. So on the skill side of things, which was 7 people, I got a reply from Bianca, who is working on hand building ceramics. I think that she can no longer get to a turning wheel in a workshop. So she's doing hand building ceramics. She says she's made 2 very ugly vases and she's starting a 3rd today. The thing is that even though the action is pot making, the greater plan is to teach myself the behavior of embracing discomfort and adopting an attitude of learning. So that sounds like a pretty kind of a healthy way of doing things. I've got to say, almost everyone I talked to was doing ceramics.
It's awesome.
Female freelancers do ceramics is the question I would like to put out there. Tell me about
it's
that.
It's the new knitting circle.
Okay.
Yeah. It's amazing. And I see you've got Yumri on here as well. Her and I actually do ceramics together in the same studio.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's her response on the side hustle. Don't mind sharing at all. My side hustle is ceramics, which is very different to my day job of industrial design. It's purely a different form of creative outlet that keeps me sane. The freelancing brings in the money to support my ceramic side hustle. Hopefully one day I will be able to go full-time ceramics, but it's a hard market to crack financially. And that is the key thing about ceramics is like, as you say, if it's, when you put it in the world of it's the new knitting, it's the new crochet. Great. But I can't imagine everyone just selling ceramics to each other in the future. Like it's a tough one.
Well, if it is Mad Max world, we're going to need something to put stuff water in, you know?
No more plastic factories.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, when importing no longer works, it's true.
Yeah. Me and Ilse also do a bit of ceramics on the side, and it sounds ceramics is the Lani version of pottery.
Yeah,
you have to say it a little bit flatter, pottery.
Pottery.
Because it's pottery. It's playing with clay, and it is very therapeutic. I think like you kind of lose yourself in it. Last week we started playing with some stuff. I've got a whole bunch of little skulls that I've made, and I'm connecting them with string.
I'm making ceramic ears and turning them into a necklace. That's what that sounds like.
I'll show you. I should actually show you. It looks a little bit creepy. It looks like. But we were talking about how do you turn this side hustle into a thing, and you actually have to get extremely good at it to actually become a name, like an artist. So like Picasso's paintings go for a crap load of money because of the skill and the craft behind it. Whereas if it's done as a hobby and you're just making pots, it's not necessarily the thing you're gonna have to do.
Yeah.
It's like you have to go full Kentridge, and I think in that lies the challenge.
Another response was Ewald Horn, who is I believe, is one of the other mods on the resource, right, Tessa?
Yes, on a forum, yeah.
So what is his, he actually doesn't mention what his day-to-day is. What is his career?
I know that he does web development, I think mm-hmm. app development as well.
Okay.
I'm not sure what else, but it's definitely in that general arena.
So he's working on his copywriting skills to help him write better proposals. The plan is to upgrade my type of client a bit, but to do that, I definitely need to up my marketing game. Given the nature of what I do, it's not always feasible to outsource that to someone else. So here I am learning about sentences and spelling and whatnot. So that's cool. and then Fabrizio Conterio, hope I pronounced that right, says, after working as a digital graphic designer for many years, I've been curious about and would like to move into the UX field and have started a UX course with Interaction Design Foundation. I've also been studying for a degree in anthropology and archaeology through UNISA and have registered to start an online course in forensic anthropology and archaeology with FutureLearn. My response to that was, hell's bells, do I feel crap now? You overachiever.
Yeah, he just upped the game a bit. Like, we're all, I feel like I'm doing nothing now.
Right, so that was kind of our little poll. So it seems that the majority of people have more or less the same amount of work or are prospecting for new work. I think the take out there is that just because your client has money now doesn't mean that in 3, 4, 5 to 10 months they're going to have money then. So I don't know. Do you guys feel, because I've been, you know, when it comes to prospecting new work, I've been sending a couple of messages and emails and obviously working on the podcasting side of things. But there's almost the sense of, well, everyone is looking for new work and there's a limited amount of it. So it feels almost hopeless. It feels like there's just this kind of tsunami that you're swimming against. Do you get that impression at all?
I think this, the people will still be looking for the same type of skills. I don't think the way clients look for people to help them has changed at all very much. Maybe they'll be a little bit more cost conscious, but if you are successful in getting a client, I think that it would have been the same case regardless of the situation or not. Like, there's always in South Africa tons of people looking for work. And you sure. just see it on the resource. It's like every time a good job comes up, it gets like 150 responses. So I don't think things have changed very much. Maybe a few more people are struggling than the ones that used to, but there's tons of people that have been struggling to find work for years potentially.
Sure.
So yes. Go ahead.
I can build on that. I think this idea that there's everybody's out there, like that's people being in their own heads. I think it's you in your own head as an example right now. It's like, I think you just have to keep moving forward because the alternative is to just sit and pet your cat, you know, like you got to keep hustling. Then that will differentiate the people with work to the people without work, really.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Not that, I know it sounds a little bit cliche, but you just got to have to keep pushing.
Or maybe just adapting your business. Like, thankfully, all of us are in businesses that we can very much easily operate without, you know, needing to be in an office. So for us, we didn't really need to pivot much to, you know, offer our services to clients. But people who maybe, you know, can't be there in person or need to be there in person to do their job and might need to adjust the way that they do things, reassure their clients that they can work remotely. So it's more about, I think, yes, like you said, Lucas, don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Just carry on hustling and make sure that whatever you offer, you can continue doing for your clients and reassure them that you can.
Also, just to build on that, it's like this, there's a talk about the new normal about what, once all this is settled, the freelancer, this is the normal. It's only, you just can't go to the shops as freely as you wanted to. At the risk of sounding over, like, too optimistic in the face of all the stuff that's happening, is that no, this has been advantageous to me personally. I would, like, yeah, no, this is, bring it. Like, and that attitude, I think, is something that people who just stepped out of an agency are going to be like trying to adapt, and that learning curve is going to be a little bit steep for them. but it's not a mountain that's impossible to climb. Like it would be interesting to see how agencies and companies are going to come back and go like, no man, stay home. I don't need all this floor space for offices. You've got a laptop and an internet connection. Stay home. I'm going to save on rent and coffee, you know? So I think there's going to be people are going to come out of this more efficient.
Well, look, I think that's true in terms of the lifestyle and the day-to-day of your life. But in terms of the new normal as to the greater depression that we might be going into and the amount of businesses that are going to close and the industries that will be forever changed, travel, events, sports, all these industries are going to change fundamentally. We're going to feel that just as much as everyone. The only advantage we have is that we're used to working from home, which is an advantage, certainly. But there is going to be some new normal. And I think right now, people are jumping the gun, trying to figure out what that is, where I don't think we're in a position to know what it is yet. But
no one knows. I'm not, sorry, John, I'm not trying to say that I know.
No, of course.
It's just that at least to be more flexible and be optimistic in that, in the face of that. Otherwise, again, the alternative is to sit home and be freaked out.
You know, my wife has struggled with a little bit. She's in events, and everyone in events right now is trying to figure out how can I change my business to make this digital. But it's taken her a little while. You know, it's almost like a grieving process. It's taken her a little while to accept that things are going to change. And I think there's a definite sense of, as everyone in the world jumps onto Zoom and says, it's my business, but now it's on Zoom. It's easy to feel like you're just another one of those people and that you're going to get lost in that crowd. But what you should have that sets you apart is you have your own clients, and those clients will come to you first for that kind of service. So you're not competing with everyone else in the world. You're just offering something new to the clients that you either already have and obviously to the ones that you're prospecting for. So, but I've certainly seen it with her that, that the resistance to change is there, but we have to get over it, you know.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's, again, it sounds so cold-hearted to put it this way, but you either adapt or the alternative is, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Right. So I just want to get on to then chatting to a bit more to Tessa about what is some of the stuff that you have been seeing on the group on both the main resource page and the creative forum. Any kind of trends or things that stand out to you? Lots of posts of the same type that you're seeing?
There's definitely more people looking for work than people offering jobs. And overall, the posts on the group have reduced by about 35%, so which is quite significant. So that already speaks volumes in terms of
the activity going on out there.
Yeah. Nobody's hiring permanent staff. I think projects have been put on hold until they know what's happening. I've found that with my own clients, and because they're in the wine industry, they can't export anything. So there's an uncertainty about the future and whether there's going to be money coming in. So people aren't spending as much money. Sure. Then on the creative forum, it's been a lot of posts about clients either wanting to pay less for projects or staggering payments or canceling projects, wanting money back. Like it's worrying.
And, quite a lot, you know, of contractual issues. People,
yes. Pulling the force majeure, I don't know if I pronounced that correctly, clause on contracts. It's going to happen. And that's going to happen to our clients. And then they going to have less money to spend on us potentially. You know, generally people looking for funding, looking for help, like who's going to be helping, freelancers in particular. There's been lots of questions about that because there's lots of talk about helping small and medium enterprises. Registered businesses, which most of us aren't. Most of us just operate as sole props and we can't get funding, but there is a fund that's been started for that, which, you know, you can just post the link. It's called the Sukuma Fund.
How do you spell that?
Let me just get the link up here just when I find it.
Yeah, I think a lot of, like, will the Solidarity Fund that the president set up, is that going to go in any way towards, as you say, sole props or small businesses?
It's difficult because they, I don't know how they, this is the only one, it's the Sukuma Fund, so S-U-K-U-M-A, relief program. and we can post the link in the
show notes and the post itself.
Section. That's the only one so far that I've where they specifically mention sole proprietors.
Okay.
The rest of them all mention businesses. So even if it's a micro business, but they require business registration, which none of us do. You know, with this one, you only need to prove that you've lost income as you know, from the COVID-19 outbreak, and then also prove that you've been paying tax as a service provider.
Sure.
For people who need licensing, they'll need to prove that they have the licensing. So like if you're an accountant, you know, you obviously need to be registered. It's the best, and it's 25 grand, like straight up paid. They pay it out within a week for people who qualify. So that sounds pretty good. That'll float somebody bare bones for a little bit.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, it's definitely worth investigating. I believe that's based on the Rupert fund, right?
Yes.
The $1 billion.
Yeah, and you don't have to pay the money back, which is nice. I mean, they encourage people to pay the money back if they can to support more people. But right. You're not obliged to pay the money back. It's basically a donation to you.
How are in terms of the group's membership numbers, are you seeing an influx of new freelancers, or are they not really changing?
Overall, no. I haven't really seen an increase in my normal kind of rate of people trying to join the group. I suppose that it might increase over time.
Yeah.
You know, considering we haven't seen the end of all the retrenchments at the moment. That might still happen quite a bit. So I have seen a lot of people coming into the group saying that they've been retrenched due to the virus already. I think most likely it's really due to the recession more than the virus so much. I don't think we've really seen the effects of that on business as much yet. Because it hasn't been, the lockdown's only been, you know, going for a week.
Yeah, and during the lockdown, we went into junk status. So there was going to be a big knock-on effect on that. And it's all hidden in the panic of all this. But I agree with you. There's like in the conspiratorial brain that people are, when they heard about the lockdown, retrenched people. They just took it as an excuse to jump ship or just to close shop and get off it kind of morally scot-free.
It might have also been the nail in the coffin. Like if you've already been struggling financially as a business and then you know that you're going to be unable to do any work, especially for companies who can't work remotely for the next 3 weeks, you might realize that that is literally going to just kill your runway for the business and you have to do something now. So it's a scary time for a lot of people. And I know that sometimes people are quick to jump and say that it's, you know, people are so cruel by retrenching during this time. I can 100% guarantee you nobody ever wants to retrench somebody. Nobody ever wants to close down their business that they've worked super hard to build up. You just listen to that interview by the CEO of EdCon and you know what these businesses are feeling. I mean, it's hectic. And I think we also need to sympathize with those guys. You know, they're also struggling. And
The people in those C-suites are still people. My personal view is that most corporates, you know, they're answerable to their shareholders, and that kind of usually allows like less ethical decisions to be made because it's all in the service of the greater business and profit and all that kind of thing. But all the CEOs and MDs and all that I've worked with in various companies, they're all just people who are fully aware that there are whole families who are being supported by the salaries that are being paid. And going through a retrenchment is a nightmare for them as much as anyone. It's difficult to say as much when you're the one losing your job, but it's very tough emotionally to have to tell someone, hey, look, sorry, your family is no longer getting this income. It's the retrenchment things also, as you say, it's still in its early stages. So we might see more people in the market. And certainly, as you said, Luke, like the knock-on effects of the Moody's down and the VIA kind of thing, it's all led to the Rand now being somewhere around, hovering around 20 Rand per the dollar. So I guess one thing that maybe we can focus on in a future episode would be how to prospect for work overseas. I mean, Tessa, you say that you've got a few clients who are overseas, and those clients are going to be even more valuable now in this situation. And they're going to have their own recession. They're going to have their own issues, but we'll work on some content about how to get some work from the countries with those strong currencies, and do what we can on that side of things. Through LinkedIn, you can actually, you know, you can prospect and you can get in touch with people, and you can get that overseas work.
South Africa's got a hell of a talent pool. Like I said, I work with guys in Australia, and the benefit for them on this side is their currency goes way, way, way further down here. I'd love to get the tricks of the trade on that as well. That sounds like a really good episode.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll definitely work on that. Okay, so I think we'll wrap it up there. So Tessa, thanks very much for that insight into what's going on in the group. Are there any other pieces of advice that you'd like to share with the resource and its members?
Well, I'm certainly not a guru in how to survive the apocalypse, but I'd say some of the best advice that I've read is to not feel pressured by all this productivity porn going around everywhere. Mm-hmm. That we're all dealing with the kind of fallout of a massive crisis. We're all experiencing trauma. And you should give yourself that, you know, the time you need to deal with that. And if that means that you're not as productive as you were before, that's okay. And, you know, kind of work through it, take care of yourself. Burnout's going to be so much easier right now because we all already like at that heightened state of anxiety. So just take care of yourself. Remember that if you burn out, you're going to be, you know, later, you know, take it easy, be, you know, easy on yourself. And hopefully we'll all get through this relatively unscathed, maybe just a few bruises, but otherwise good.
Well, I think if there was any time to start some kind of mindfulness, journaling or meditation practice, or getting into something like yoga, which is, you know, parallel to mindfulness, now is the kind of time to do it, just to try and calm yourself, essentially, because there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of pressure. I can't even imagine what it's like for parents right now, having to homeschool, work, and, you know, manage all of that at the same time must be intense.
Tessa, thanks for the, I think you put it into, you said it so nicely, take care of yourself. Otherwise you won't be able to take care of others, especially later as it's coming along. But that being said, I think the hustle is real. I think when times get tough, I think the hustle needs to actually go up. But at the same time, keep that balance of keeping calm, but knowing that you need to plan. There are stats about the depression where companies that advertised or kept on going, kept on marketing, kept on working through depressions, their recovery time after the depression was less. And they came out slightly in front of their competitors. And that's just kind of good reasoning and a lesson to learn. Because the instinct is to cut down, cut the fat, to remove all that stuff. It's actually now get your voice louder while you're out there. As much as I think you're right, mindfulness and all that, it's also but with a purpose, to not roll over and die.
You need to take care of your business.
Between the self-care and the productivity and the hustle, there's a middle ground. It's probably peaks and troughs, like just conserving, managing your energy so that when you do feel up, get on that hustle. When you do feel down, accept the fact that you're going to feel down and take care of yourself. And you don't need to hustle all the time. Don't be Gary Vaynerchuk. You know, you can't do that all the time. And you can't also just play Xbox 24/7. So, yeah, I think you just have to manage it correctly. So we're running out of that sweet free 40 minutes on Zoom. So we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you very much for joining me today, guys. To everyone out there who is under lockdown and still working and looking for work and working on side hustles and learning new skills and managing their time and trying to stay well, good luck to all of you. Probably the best thing you can do is not binge on the news every day. Try and stay away from things that you can't control, things that are going to make you feel overwhelmed. I wish you luck, and hopefully we'll catch up together next week again. We'll just chat about week two of the lockdown, and we'll start working on an episode designed to help you prospect work, probably from overseas, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of work in South Africa for a little while. Stay safe out there. Stay safe at home. And take care of each other.